And so as we've done over the last couple of weeks, I want you to take a moment, New Life, and just breathe in and breathe out. Feels good, right? Yeah, I mean, like, again, and some of you are coming in here today, and let's be honest, you had one of those mornings. You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Like, you were fighting like cats and dogs before you, like, walked out of your, or got out of your car and stepped onto our property. But when you stepped on your property, you tried to put it all together, right? You try to act like you got it all together, but man, it was one of those mornings. Or maybe some of you have had one of those days this week, right? One of those days where you find yourself and nothing seems to go right. Like everything you're trying to do in terms of getting it done quickly and efficiently just isn't happening. I've had those mornings or those times, those days where all of a sudden I think that, you know, I got the kids up and we got breakfast and we're ready to leave, and then they forget something and so we go back to the house and then we leave again. I literally have gone back to the house three times in one given morning. It's one of those things where you're going, how in the world can things get any more stressful than they are right now? Or maybe you had one of those days this week where you were trying to get in with a specific doctor or coordinate doctor's appointments and everything else for you or a parent or any number of things. And then again, they called and they canceled and now you can't get into later and the medical bills are coming and all those things. And it's just one of those days. Or maybe you got the call from school and your kid's puking everywhere. And you're thinking, oh yeah, this is a really good, you know, kind of introduction to today. And I thought I was gonna get all this stuff done, and your schedule goes out the window and everything changes. Or have you ever gone to the store and you were just trying to get in and get out of the store, get something quick, you got a lot going on, and you get to the store, you grab the item you need, you get up to where all the registers are, and when there's 10 of them there, only one's open. But there's only one person in front of you. They only have a few things. But then he or she begins to dig through their stuff in order to get their checkbook. And it takes 10 minutes longer than it should have, right? And you're looking and going, man, this is just one of those days. Now, again, we have those every now and then. But what happens when one of those days turns into one of those weeks? And what happens when one of those weeks turns into one of those seasons? And what happens when one of those seasons turns into one of those years? And you feel like you are maxed out, you are spread to the limit, and you're not quite sure how you're going to do anything else. And you feel like you're kind of keeping things in order a little bit, but you know you are at the max of your bandwidth. And your relational life, you're thinking, if there's just one more thing that happens, I don't know if I can deal with it. And if there's just one more thing that happens at work, I'm not sure I'll be able to handle it. And if there's just one more thing that happens with the kids, or one more thing that happens with my health, or one more thing that happens with my parents, I'm not sure I can deal with it anymore. And then all of a sudden, the warning signs become apparent. You're thinking, what are some of the warning signs that I'm at the edge of my limits? Well, one of them is that you become extremely exhausted. You wear yourself out. And even when you have a day off, you are worn out. And you're not quite sure, like, you'll lay around the house maybe in a given morning, and you're still tired when all is said and done. And you start feeling, you know what? I'm exhausted. I'm emotionally drained. I'm mentally drained. I'm relationally drained and worn out from the grind. The second thing that you see that begins to happen is you begin to shut people out. You begin to isolate yourself. You begin to, you know, not go certain places because you're thinking, you know what, if I go there, then, you know, there's just going to be problems and things are going to happen, and I just don't want to have to deal with people. I'm all peopled out. And so you begin to isolate yourself, and you take that frustration, you take that anger, and you take that overwhelmed feeling, and you're like, I'll just deal with this on my own, because two things are either going to happen. Either I'm going to say not nice things to people, or people are just not going to want to hang out with me because I'm not being nice right now. And we get frustrated. Well, the third thing that we begin to do when we kind of find ourselves at our limit is nothing is positive in our life. Everything that we look at is negative. Everything that we look at is overwhelming. Everything that we look at starts to be frustrating. Everything that we look at and everything that happens in life begins to irritate us. Now, there are weeks where I come up here and I preach a message, and my heartbeat is that the word always grips me first before I preach it. I want to preach out of the overpouring of what God has done in my life. And this is one of those weeks where, you know what, I was reading and I was studying and all of a sudden it's like God hit me upside the head and basically you could go home right now because this message is just for me if it's not for anybody else. Because Saturday morning was one of those times where it was like, I'm stretched to my max. And then the thing happened, right? What is that thing in your life? That thing that pushes you over the edge, sometimes it's significant, sometimes it's not. So Saturday morning, I get up after probably a week and a half of just feeling like I'm stressed to my limit. And I don't have my bandwidth of emotions is at its limit. My bandwidth of relationships is at its limit. My bandwidth with the career, my bandwidth with my family, everything was maxed. And I get up in the morning, not because I wanted to. I had the ability to sleep in on a Saturday. 6 o'clock, wide awake. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to do the holy preacher thing. I'm not going to jump right on social media. I'm going to open up my Bible app, my YouVersion app, and kind of read some of my reading plan. So that's what I did. I jumped on and I began to read through the reading plan. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a good day. And I get up, I'm thinking, I'm going to cook for my family. I like to cook breakfast. It's one of those things I like to do. So I start, you know, getting everything together for eggs and pancakes and that sort of thing. But as I'm walking around the house, I'm realizing that our house is absolutely destroyed. And I'm thinking, my wife and I haven't been home all week. You know who's destroyed this house? Those kids that we had. And all of a sudden, the negative begins to seep in, and I can't see anything positive. I'm like, whose idea was it to have all these kids? And I'm going, I'm walking around, and there's piles of dishes in the sink, and the dishwasher hasn't been run, and it's fully loaded. And there's books everywhere, and there's clothes, and there's laundry, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And I'm sitting there going, am I a maid around here? And there's nobody else seeing this. And what made it even worse is that the kids got up, and they just started playing Fortnite. And they started getting on the internet. And it's like, doesn't anybody else see the issues that I see? Doesn't anybody care about what dad feels? And all of a sudden, the thing happened. And it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was because I was so stretched to the max on everything else that the thing happened. And I couldn't see any positive. I couldn't see anything beyond my frustration and the fact that I was overwhelmed and the fact that my feelings, in all honesty, were at their max. And nobody seemed to care about what was going on. And so I don't know maybe what that thing is in your life. Maybe it's something that's happened. Maybe it's something that happened to you. But when that thing happens, when it's the sickness that all of a sudden you are stretched to the max and all of a sudden you take your kids to the doctor and they tell you that your kid has pink eye and it's going to cost you $50 for a little vial of medicine that is literally that big. When you are thinking everything's all right and you're doing well in your career and the boss comes and says, hey, we're going to have layoffs. When you think life is going good and you did your devotions that morning and everything seems like it should be going well and all of a sudden you and your spouse have this knockdown blowout fight. All of a sudden, you find yourself at Cal Poly right now and you got into the school, which is a feat in itself. And then you begin to look at the syllabus that you have and the assignments that are due and all those types of things. And then somebody comes along and it doesn't even have to be major, but they just do something that just sets you off. And it's like a house of cards. It comes crashing down. And the medical bills come in. And the grind grinds you up. And in the midst of that, if we were really honest with ourselves, and I know that, you know, some of you are checking out Christianity for the first time, and some of you aren't quite sure you believe in God, but if you're here today and you're a Christian and you take off your mask and kind of putting yourself all pretty and handsome and all done up in order to come to church, if you were honest with yourself, and I know that Christians aren't supposed to say this, but if you were honest with yourself, in the back of your mind, in that moment when the thing happens and the grind grinds you up, there's three thoughts that I imagine, again, maybe it's not you, maybe it's just me, but I'm going to be honest with you today, three thoughts that come in my mind. That God in that moment seems to be silent. That God in that moment seems to be uncooperative. And that God in that moment seems to be late. I mean, again, I know that we're supposed to be Christian and not think thoughts like these, but maybe, just maybe, you're just human and you have these moments where life begins to grind you up and you sit there and you go, God, where are you in all of this? I can't handle one more thing. Aren't you aware of what's going on in my life? And I'm spinning all this and I'm trying to give you glory. I'm trying to do all of this. And yet I don't feel like you're hearing me, God. Or God, you're being uncooperative. Don't you realize what I need right now? Can I get your attention? Where are you in all of this? Or God, man, you're just late. You knew what was gonna happen. How come you didn't step in before this thing happened? You know how many plates that I'm spinning. You know what's going on. You know the grind that I'm facing each and every day. And then you have those really annoying Christian people too that post stuff on social media. When they get a parking space, hashtag blessed, and you're thinking, you gave them a parking space. What about me? And if we were really honest with ourselves, there's these moments. There's moments where we, in the back of our mind, think God is silent. Therefore, God is absent. That somehow his silence, or the fact that we can't sense him as much as maybe what we did in a different season, we equate that with silence, or with absence. I want to do something for just a moment, and I hope it's encouraging to some of you that maybe find yourself here. If you have ever felt that, and again, I know it's a risk for some people because, you know, again, we're supposed to be Christian people and we never deal with this type of stuff. But if you're like me and you do every now and then, if you have ever felt that God was silent in your life, I want you to raise your hand and I want you to keep it up. If you have ever felt that God was uncooperative, like he wasn't answering your prayer the way you thought it needed to be answered, go ahead and raise your hand and keep your hand up. And if you have ever felt that God was late, I want you to raise your hand. Now I want you to look around and know that you are not alone, right? You can put your hand down. And what's even more encouraging to me is that when you go to the Psalms, there's these Psalms, these prayers called laments. And laments are beautiful. We don't like to talk about them very often because they're kind of gnarly and it's language of frustration with God. But it's this rawness of saying, you know what, God, I'm frustrated right now. It's about, I'm frustrated about my grief. I'm frustrated about my pain. I'm frustrated about suffering. I'm frustrated about feeling overwhelmed. And what I love about laments is that the psalmist David was considered a man after God's own heart. And yet God gives him permission to lament, gives him permission to cry out and say, God, I don't understand this right now. I don't understand why you seem late. I don't understand why I'm having these feelings right now. I don't understand why this is going on. But I'm gonna be honest with you, God, and I'm gonna share with you my frustration and my feelings of suffering, my feelings of abandonment, my feelings of irritation with you. And if you're in one of those seasons right now, if you find yourself there, you can read along with me. We're gonna read Psalm 42 here in a moment. You can read along with the passage on the screen, but maybe, just maybe, what you need this morning is to make this prayer your own. That's one of the things I love about the Psalms, is that David's words can become your words. His prayer can become my prayer. And so maybe it's an opportunity for you just to let these words wash over you this morning and to identify with them. Hear the word of the Lord. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from distant Mount Hermon. the source of the Jordan from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word that speaks to us not only when we find ourselves on a mountaintop, it speaks to us when we walk through the valley. May we hear your words to us. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see you today. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. What happens when the grind grinds you up? What happens when you feel frustrated? What happens when it's not just one area that feels overwhelming, but all areas? That's what I love about this particular psalm is David's not sitting here saying, you know, my life is pretty good and there's this one area and I'm just gonna let this one area just take me out. No, it's all the areas. The enemies are coming on all sides. It's every single part of not only his life that seems in chaos, but also he uses this incredible Hebrew word in this particular passage. Some of your translations will translate it soul, but it's this Hebrew word called nephesh. And nephesh is an important word because when we hear soul, we think about it being kind of this one aspect of who we are, but that's not how Hebrew culture understood it, and that's not how biblical culture understands the self. In biblical culture and throughout scripture, you are understood as an integrated being of body, mind, soul, and spirit. So when David says, my nephesh longs for you, that my nephesh is discouraged, what he's saying is every part of me, the physical aspect of me, the emotional aspect of me, the relational aspect of me, the spiritual aspect of me, every part of me is downcast. Every part of me is sad. Every part of me is discouraged because I am overwhelmed about what is happening in my life. And there's these triggers that we see happening in David's life, and there's these triggers that happen in our own life that push us over the edge, and God feels distant in that moment. And David's writing this lament, and he says, you know what? I long for God. And it's like he picks up his pen and he says, nope, that's not good enough. I don't just long for God. I long for the living God. And he pauses again. He's like, nope, not even that. I long to experience God face to face. And it's not just this like cry of saying, you know what, God, I need a little of you sprinkled in my life. It's this cry that says, God, I need all of you. I need your presence. I hunger and thirst. Like every part of my being is longing. It's not like, hey, a little church on Sunday and I'll pick myself up by my bootstraps and I'll be okay. No, every step, God, I need you right now. I need your presence when I'm at home, and I need it when I'm at work, and I need it when I'm in the doctor's office, and I need it when I'm in the grocery store. God, I am longing for you. Where are you? Because right now, my tears are my only food. The only thing that's giving me any comfort is I can still cry tears. That somehow I have some emotion, and I'm not just numb. And he's frustrated. He's overwhelmed. He's discouraged. And what I see in this particular psalm is a man who defeated Goliath, realizing he's not big enough. Think about that for a moment. A man who is king. A man who at the snap of his fingers can send armies into anywhere he goes, and yet he is feeling like he is not big enough. And when your enemies come and you realize that you are not big enough in that particular moment, it induces fear. Now I want to pause here for just a moment because we're going to be talking about how fear solicits certain feelings. But I want to pause here and recognize that if you are someone who is struggling with anxiety, if you are someone who is struggling with depression, that there are biological reasons that you may be struggling with those particular things. And I would encourage you, and I would be an advocate for you meeting with a health professional to be able to help you wrestle through those biological, physical reasons why you might be experiencing anxiety, why you might be experiencing depression, okay? But there's also times where anxiety is the byproduct of fear in our lives, where depression can be the byproduct, where being overwhelmed is the byproduct of fear in our lives, this recognition that my life is out of control, that I can't keep everything spinning, that this thing that I am experiencing is bigger than I am. And for many of us, most of our life, let's be honest, we feel like we can handle most of our life. And so we allow ourselves to get in the grind because you know what? I got this. I'm big enough, I'm smart enough, I'm capable enough of dealing with this. I was able to take my kids to be a part of them going to Hume Lake for the very first time and going to church camp there, and it was just an awesome experience. And they stayed in one set of kind of cabins, and my wife and I, we stayed in this other cabin, and I came home late one night, and nobody else was in the house at this particular time, and so I go into the bathroom to get ready to, you know, take a shower and go to bed. And when I get in the bathroom, I close the door, and I see this mouse scurry across the floor. Now, I won't tell you that there might have been just a little bit of fear that kind of entered my body a little bit at that particular moment, but my thought is, you know what? I'm big enough to handle this. So this is what I did. I looked over and I realized that that mouse was over in the corner. And then I got this trash can that just had a couple of things in it. And I dumped that out on the floor. And I took that trash can and I trapped the mouse underneath it. And then I slid it up the door. Now, being the smart person I am, I'm thinking, you know, if I pull this away, that mouse is going to like jump out or something. So I shook it so that it got all discombobulated. And then once I got it in the bottom of the trash can, I kept shaking it and I walked over to the front door. And I'll tell you what, I chucked that mouse about as far from me to that screen right there. I don't know if it ever lived. I just know that it was gone. And in that moment, I stepped back and I said, you know what? Dana, you don't know, but you got a man here. Right? Right? Because I conquer that mouse, and we go through life and we feel really good about ourselves because we encounter these enemies and we encounter these things that are difficult and challenging and we conquer them, let's be honest, with very little help from God. But then the thing happens. And all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I'm not as big as I thought I was. And I'm not as powerful as I thought I was. And this didn't go the way that I thought it was gonna go. And some of you are sitting here this morning and you're trying to take care of mom and dad right now as they're getting older, or a spouse. And this isn't what you thought it was gonna be like. Like you had in your mind, you know what, as mom and dad get older, I'm gonna care for them and I'm gonna make sure their medical bills are paid and I'm gonna make sure that they get the type of care and we're gonna, you know, one of us is gonna stay home and all this is gonna happening, but you are at your wit's end right now with the insurance industry and with medical bills and with doctors and the fact that when you try to help your mom or your dad, that they are fading away and you don't know how to do it. And it's bigger than you, and it's bigger than you thought it was going to be, and it's frustrating, and it's overwhelming, and you're finding yourself in that moment going, this is bigger than me. And you look at your parent, and instead of looking at them lovingly right now, your feelings are you're frustrated with them, and you're irritated. Or maybe you have kids right now, and you're in one of those seasons where you're like, man, we talked several years ago, let's have kids, it's a good idea. And now you're looking at them and you're like, you guys are the enemy. I can't, you guys are everywhere, I can't handle this. And you don't listen to me and I'm not quite sure what to do and you're overwhelmed and you're frustrated. And instead of feeling like a parent who has it all together, you're feeling like a parent who is way less than. Or maybe, again, you're a student and you got into that AP class or you got into Cal Poly, wherever you are, and all of a sudden you're going, I don't know how I'm gonna stay in this school or stay in this program. Or I don't know how I'm gonna, now that I've gotten the promotion, handle it all because it is overwhelming me. And you're frustrated and you're overwhelmed. And when I read this psalm, what I see David doing, which I think is so key for us to understand, is he acknowledges his feelings. but he's guided by his beliefs. Think about that for a moment. He acknowledges his feelings. There's this theologian that I heard one time. His name's Dr. Phil. He said this. I wouldn't recommend everything that Dr. Phil says, but I thought this was pretty insightful. He said, your feelings are your feelings. Now, some of you are going like, wow, that's pretty insightful. No, think about it for a moment. Because you've been here. When you're angry, you're angry. When you're frustrated, you're frustrated. When you're sad, you're sad. When you're depressed, you're depressed. When you have anxiety, you have anxiety. And what we do as Christians is like, I shouldn't feel that way because that's unchristian. No, your feelings are your feelings. And so you got to own them. You've got to acknowledge them. When we try to pretend like we don't have them, then we're basically lying to ourselves and we're not dealing with it effectively. We're just kind of brushing it to the side. But eventually, when the thing happens, it will overwhelm you and at some point incapacitate you. Because you've never been honest about what you're actually feeling. You've never been honest about the circumstances that surround you. And I love what David does is he acknowledges his feelings and yet he's not, his life and his steps aren't being dictated by his feelings. Listen to what he says back in the passage. He reminds himself that, you know what? I'm discouraged. I'm sad. I'm feeling overwhelmed by my enemies. God, I'm feeling like you have forgotten me. Where are you in all this? But then he declares this, God's unfailing love for me. Feelings and truth. And you know what the enemy is so good at, who's also referred to as the father of lies? He is so good at coming and pressing in on our feelings and encouraging us to press into that rather than truth. And so we have to recognize that our feelings are acknowledged, our feelings are real. They're not just simply gonna go away, but we don't have to have our lives dictated by that. And again, you have this kind of tension going on throughout this passage. You have this idea that David's saying, you know what? I'm about to die from this persecution. I'm about to die at the hands of my enemy. They taunt me. And yet he says, God is the giver of life. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And yet, God, you are my rock. And this tension develops between the father of lies and the father of truth. And in this passage, I see this acknowledgement of the feelings that are there, but a decision to respond based on truth, which is the final thing that I think we recognize in this passage, which is this: respond based on your beliefs, not your feelings. Now, most of the time when we're not in a good place, what we do is we react to situations. We don't respond to them. And reactions are never good. On this past Saturday morning, yesterday morning, I reacted to my feelings, reacted to frustration, reacted to the negative, reacted and didn't process anything, didn't realize that my kids also had homework throughout the week, didn't realize that they didn't just sit on the couch and eat bonbons and play Fortnite all week, right? I reacted to my feelings. God doesn't call us to react. He calls us to respond. And responding sometimes requires pausing. And responding sometimes is about reminding ourselves of what, acknowledging our feelings, but responding in truth. And there is self-talk that happens in this particular passage. David doesn't deny his feelings. He doesn't come and say, God, you don't really know that I'm feeling this. He says, this is where I'm at. And yet I will declare who you are and who I will trust. And he has this I will statement. It's like he stares down his discouragement, stares down his sadness, stares down his enemies, stares down the things in his life that aren't going according to plan. And he says this, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now here's what's key. That does not mean his feelings changed. See, that's where we get it wrong sometimes as Christians. We're like, if I just pray this prayer, then my feelings are automatically going to change. They may not. But it's like I tell my kids, if you let your life be dictated by your feelings, it's going to be here and here and here and here and here. But if you allow God to order your steps in his truth, doesn't mean life is easy. But as David said in the 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I wonder what you may be staring down this morning. What thing might have overwhelmed you that you need to declare, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. My God and my Savior. I wonder what you need to stare down today and say, yep, I feel frustrated at this and I feel overwhelmed. And God, I feel like you're silent right now. And God, I feel like you're being uncooperative right now. And God, I feel like you've forgotten me. I feel like you're nowhere to be found. I wonder what you need to stare down, but then declare, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is mighty. He is my refuge and strength. He is my right hand. He is my protection. He is my provider. He is my strength. He is the one that when everything else is crumbling and falling apart, that I can stand on his bedrock of strength. I wonder what it is that you need to declare. Jesus, you are my living hope. I want to encourage you to stand this morning. The team's going to lead us in a newer song. And if you want to sing along, awesome. And if you want to, again, let these words just wash over you and minister to you, I want to encourage you to do that. But here's what I would say, that at some point during this song, if you are staring down something, if you've had something happen, maybe it's happened in the past, maybe you're going through it, or maybe it's something that you're on the verge of, and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling frustrated and you're feeling the heaviness of discouragement and sadness and fear, during this song, as an act of praise, as an act of declaration, I would just encourage you at some point just simply to declare these words and to raise your hands. I know some of you may not feel comfortable. You don't have to do this. But man, if God would so lead you and stir something within you, it'd be like you saying to the enemy, yeah, I hear you, enemy. But my God is greater. And I will put my trust in Jesus, the living hope. Let these words of truth wash over you this morning. Heavenly Father, this is sacred time and sacred space. Would you just move in this room and in and through the hearts of people? We ask these things in Christ's powerful name.